Hello and welcome to Balls Filthy Casual. My name is Doc J. I'm your host. It is December 11th at 11:15, and you are listening to the first pilot episode of the podcast. All right, so 2020. Let's talk about 2020 for a second. I know it's been a bad year for everybody. I don't think anyone has been able to profit through this time, but that does not mean you cannot end 2020 on a good note. I am challenging all my listeners, who right now is none, because this is the test pilot episode, to go out and try to do some act of charity for someone in need. If that's baking cookies for your neighbor, a Secret Santa situation, whatever that looks like, go out and try to help someone in need, because charity is a value that society has gotten away from, and I think that society has to be the one to bring that back. Anyway, I will get off my soapbox here. Let's talk about why you came to listen. Let's talk about some basketball. So NBA free agency happened not too long ago, and I want to discuss my winners of free agency. If you guys have different winners or you feel differently about some of these teams, go ahead and leave those messages in the comments. Go ahead and leave your free agency winners as well, so we can discuss them at a later date. So the first team I have who has won free agency, for me, this is kind of a no-brainer. Excuse me. It is the Los Angeles Lakers. So Rob Pelinka is proving that he is a brilliant general manager. He got criticized very heavily for the AD trade. A lot of people feel like he gave up too many assets, gave up too many young players, but he was able to secure a ring with LeBron James. So, we need to put some credit on Rob Pelinka's name as a general manager. That was an incredible trade that boosted the Lakers to the title. And their free agency has really been no different. So they went out and they were able to gather Marc Gasol, Wesley Matthews, Montrezl Harrell, and Dennis Schroeder. Okay. So that, if you're a basketball fan, I'm not just talking about teams, I mean actual basketball, and you know the names I'm reading off, that is an incredibly solid lineup. Marc Gasol is a fantastic center. He can stretch the floor for you a little bit. He can net you some rebounds. He's overall either a great starting big. He could be a great backup big as well, depending on where you want to place Anthony Davis. Wesley Matthews played for the Bucks. I believe he came off their bench unit, and he was able to keep their offense rolling when Giannis was off the floor. And even when he was playing with Giannis, like, he was someone that Giannis could pass the ball to, who kind of opened up that space so Giannis could do his thing. Wesley Matthews was another really cheap and solid pickup. Montrezl Harrell. All right, so let's talk about Montrezl Harrell for a second. Montrezl Harrell just came off being Sixth Man of the Year. He did not have a good bubble performance. I understand that. I don't believe that that is damning for his career. But he switched from the Clippers, which, you know, is a gut punch to them, and went literally just next door. I mean, if it's even next door, it's the same building, to play for the Lakers. Montrezl Harrell is a fantastic power forward. His offensive capabilities are somewhat limited, but for a guy coming off the bench who's averaging 18 and 6, I mean, those are fantastic numbers. And when you put that guy behind Anthony Davis, I mean, it looks like, in my opinion, the Lakers have the best four spot and backup four in the entire NBA. And not only that, then they went and picked up Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder was in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. Another guy who's going to average 18 points for you, get you 6 assists. A fantastic guard who is just all around dynamite. So the Los Angeles Lakers, because of these four pickups, have really solidified themselves once again as the title favorites. So good for them. Good for Rob Pelinka. Really good for LeBron James as well. Number two, I have, and this might be a shock to everyone, I do not have the Clippers. I have the Atlanta Hawks. So here's the thing about the Hawks. And this is why you should be excited if you're a Hawks fan. Trae Young, that kid is the future of the NBA. I've gone on record before. I've said players like Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Luka Doncic, obviously now, as we can all see, and Trae Young, those are going to be your top five players as LeBron James and other players start to retire. Those guys are the future of the NBA, and holding on to one of those guys is always going to secure you a playoff spot, in my opinion, especially going into the future. Now, winning basketball has not been a part of the Hawks culture, unfortunately, but it looks like they used this offseason to really change that. They picked up Danilo Gallinari, who's a great forward. He can generate his own offense. They picked up Rajon Rondo, who can play behind Trae Young and continue to move that offense along. Chris Dunn was a solid pickup. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Kings. Now, Bogdan, I think, was averaging another guard who was averaging 15 points per game. And I think 4 to 5 assists. I would have to double check on that. But another very solid pick. So when you look at the Hawks, I mean, they picked up 4 players that are going to help give the Hawks versatility that they were lacking before. Really, Trae Young. Trae Young has been going out, and I'm a huge fan of Trae Young. I like the way he plays. I like the threes he takes. He's taken the most threes outside of 30 feet in the NBA and has shot a 33% clip on them. Next up, I think, is Damian Lillard, who shot a 36% clip from but we've seen Dame Lillard's evolution. That guy is something else. But full circle, we're going back to the Hawks here. Trae Young no longer is going to have to play that hero ball. He's not going to be surrounded by subpar shooters. He has guys who are going to be able to kick it out, generate the offense. They can drive. Rajon Rondo is, I don't know so much if he's great in the locker room, but I know that he's going to give a veteran presence that I think the Hawks will also need. So the Hawks definitely at number 2 when it comes to NBA offseason winners. Number 3, I have the Clippers. So losing Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers was a gut punch and a very, very painful loss for the Clippers because of the ability that he has to generate offense and keep everything going. They had him, Lou Williams, and you know, Lou also is really good with the ball in his hands. But they got really lucky because they were able to somehow lock down Serge Ibaka and Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard's had some bilateral knee injuries, which have kind of kept him and his roles minimum, but playing up to 29 minutes, Luke Kennard is still a solid guy for you who's going to get you at least 15 points a game. So, but Serge Ibaka is, in my opinion, very underrated. This guy is going out and he's getting you at least 13 to 18 points a game, and he's going to get you 7 rebounds. That's great coming off the bench. It doesn't exactly fill the hole that Montrezl Harrell left when it comes to productivity, but the nice thing about Serge Ibaka is he has a more versatile game, and Serge Ibaka has played with Kawhi Leonard before. They won a ring together in Toronto. So the Clippers got very, very lucky on picking up Serge Ibaka. Serge was actually on my short list for the Utah Jazz as one of the guys I would have won after in free agency with everything and just throwing my money at him. But we'll get to the Jazz later. So, okay, that is number 3. Number 4 is going to be, of course, the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns have always, you know, they've relied so heavily on Devin Booker and his ability to just win basketball games that I think that they have had issues putting other pieces around him. I'm not quite sure why that is, but I mean, we all saw them in the bubble. They won their 8 straight seeding games. They still didn't make it. Personally, I think that is a projection for things to come. I do not think that was a fluke. I think Devin Booker, is ready to take that next step. That kid is an all-star. He didn't make it last year, but he is an all-star. He will be an all-star moving in the future. And you can actually put him on that top 5 list I made with Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum. You can definitely put guys like Devin Booker on there. Even Joel Embiid as well. Joel's pretty young, if I'm not mistaken. So they have the addition of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. And so now, with those two additions, you put those guys next to Devin Booker, all of a sudden, you have a really, really tough team that you're dealing with. They still lack depth when it comes to their bench, but Chris Paul is continuing to prove that age is really just a number. I mean, what he did with the Thunder last year no one saw coming. No one had the Thunder in the playoffs, let alone the fourth seed. Chris Paul has, you know, he helped the Rockets get to the finals, Western Conference Finals, where they were up 3-2. Going back to Houston, they should have been able to lock that game down, but he was unfortunately injured. Chris Paul is a very good competitor. I don't know if his leadership is legendary, as being proclaimed by ESPN and our national analysts, but he's definitely a good locker room leader. I think he's really hard on the players because he wants to win, and I like that. I like that personally in a player. Jay Crowder is going to provide you with more of that gritty toughness. He's a dog. He's good on defense. He can shoot the three. He goes hot and cold sometimes, but he also is going to provide a lot of just grit for that team. Next, I have the 76ers. So Philadelphia, you know, we've talked about this a lot. We've trusted the process. The process has never delivered. The main problem with that team is they have a Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid problem. And that's just kind of it. You have two superstars who you want to desperately hold on to because you can see their potential in the future, but they just can't really play together. And I feel like Philadelphia has kind of run that course. I know they don't want to lose those guys. I completely understand it. They tanked for so long to try to get good players, and now they finally have them. But when you look at the style of play of Ben Simmons, Ben is a very Giannis Antetokounmpo style player where he likes to get inside. He's big. He's long. Guards cannot defend him because he's 6'10". He has great reach. He's great on the inside, and he's a very underrated defender. Joel Embiid is a legitimate center. He likes to bump you on the inside. He likes to shoot the three. But you can't have Joel Embiid spacing the floor for Simmons. Simmons is supposed to be doing that for Embiid. So, and I think that the disconnect there is just the fact that Ben has refused to build a jump shot and a three-point shot. I don't know if he ever will. If he does, everyone better watch out, because that kid would be exceptionally dangerous, even more than he is now. But still, the 76ers are going to be free agency winners because they picked up Danny Green, who's a solid 3-and-D wing defender. I like Danny Green a lot. Danny Green is the only person in the NBA who's won rings with three different teams. Okay, let me say that again. Danny Green is the only player in the NBA who has won titles with three different teams. Oh, I guess, and LeBron James as well. But they're the only two. So Danny won with the Spurs. He followed Kawhi up to Toronto. They won there. And then he went to the Lakers and he secured himself a third ring. So good for Danny Green. And that shows you the kind of player he is as well. He's not a superstar by any means or an all-star, but he's solid enough to where teams, he's been able to be on championship winning teams, and he has contributed to those teams winning. So Danny Green is a great pickup. Another very underrated pickup for the 76ers is Seth Curry. All right. Seth Curry has one of the greatest three-point career percentages there is. I think he's shooting at a 43% clip for the three behind the line. But Seth is the kind of guy who you can have come off your bench and he can run your second unit for you. I have a lot of faith in Seth Curry. I believe that he has that capability, and I would like to see him continue to kind of grow in that role. And so I hope they really give him the minutes to let him flourish. And then they picked up Dwight Howard for very cheap. Look, Dwight Howard is not the player he used to be. We all know that. But Dwight Howard proved last year that he is probably the best backup center in the NBA, without a doubt. And now that best backup center is going to back up one of the best centers in the NBA. So I expect the Sixers, they have to make the playoffs. They should at least make the second round. And if they don't, then they really have to go back to the drawing board and figure stuff out. Next up, I have the Utah Jazz. So hear me out on this. Utah had a very relatively quiet offseason. And I know what a lot of fans are thinking. Well, they're running back the same roster. They didn't really make any massive moves. And you're right. But what the Jazz were able to do was they locked down Jordan Clarkson, and they were able to pick up Derek Favors as a backup center. Now, these are some facts you probably don't know if you're a Jazz fan, but when you look at Rudy Gobert, a lot of people like him because of his defensive prowess. A lot of people don't like him because he lacks offensive versatility. But the thing about Rudy Gobert is when he is on the floor, last year, the Jazz got 18 open-look threes, which is the most for any team in the NBA per game. 18 open-look threes per game, and that is because Rudy Gobert is on the floor. Because if you do not double-team him on the inside, Rudy is going to dunk all over you. And I mean, that's why in 2018, he set the record for 226 dunks per year, you know? And then the league saw that, and they said, okay, we have to stop Rudy Gobert in the paint. And so they started double-teaming him. They started really pushing on him with the defense when he would get the ball in, and that would generate the open looks that Utah needed. So Rudy Gobert is very necessary. Now, the reason I know, like, they didn't re-sign Rudy Gobert, but the reason it is so important that the Jazz picked up Derek Favors is because now you have someone who's going to continue to hold the line for your defense when Rudy Gobert is off the floor. That's something the Utah Jazz did not have last year. My dad really says it best. It became a layup line when Rudy Gobert was off the floor, and the Jazz knew they had to fix that gap. So, very modest moves, very conservative moves, but the Jazz were ranked number one in offense after December 24th. And now I believe that going into next season, the Jazz will have a top five offense and a top 10 defense, which should be good enough for them to make it past the first round. So, and then retaining Clarkson is huge because the Jazz have never really had a sixth man like Clarkson. Clarkson is actually going to be my pick for sixth man of the year. That's set for another podcast, and I will go in depth on why I believe that. But this is the first time that this young man has been on a winning basketball team, and winning is infectious and it brings out the best in everybody. He ranked sixth in points off the bench, production off the bench last year, and fourth when it came to threes made. Those are great numbers. Those to me say that this guy has the capability to win sixth man of the year, or get very close to it, at least be a runner-up. So locking down Clarkson for 4 years is going to guarantee that the Utah Jazz have that bench offense that they need to keep things rolling. Last on my list, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. All right? So, look, I know everything fell through with Bogdan Bogdanovic. For some reason, ESPN, the national analysts, are in love with this kid. And to be honest, I'm not sure why. He was a very average player for the Kings. I know Giannis wanted to play with him. And obviously that is one of the reasons you want to go after someone. If you're a superstar who you're catering to says, I want to play with this guy, you do your damnedest to go try and get him. That fell through. But the addition of Drew Holiday is very, very good for Bucks. It's good for Bucks fans. It's going to be good for that team. Look, Giannis Antetokounmpo is, in my opinion, the greatest player in the world right now. He's won back-to-back MVPs. And you know what? That dude is fire. And he's always taken criticism throughout his career. When he first started to explode on the scene, I remember hearing about, oh, he doesn't have a jump shot. He's great by the rim, but there's no jump shot. You know what? Giannis went out and developed a jump shot. And then it was, well, he doesn't have a three-point shot. You know what he did? He went out and he started developing a three-point shot. Look, Giannis they call him the Greek freak for a reason. Okay, he's hearing all this criticism about his game, and so he's fueling it to make himself into a better player. And those are the kind of players that win rings. Now, a lot of people aren't high on Chris Middleton. I'm not sure why. Chris Middleton, even though they got bounced out in the second round by the Heat, Chris Middleton kept that hope alive when Giannis got injured. Chris Middleton stepped up. He was leading that team. That guy's, he's been an all-star. I think he has all-star capability. And I think he's a really good B-plus player next to Giannis Antetokounmpo. So now let's get into Drew Holiday. Here's the reason why Drew Holiday is such a good pickup. Eric Bledsoe is a good defender. He's a dog defender. He gets in your face. You know, he's trying to get the ball from you. He roughs you up a little bit. You know, every team wants to see that. You know, Eric Bledsoe is by no means a bad point guard, but he's not an elite point guard. I 100% believe Drew Holiday is an elite point guard. He's not Steph Curry. He's not Dame Lillard. You know, I understand that. But you know what? This dude is going to get you 19-7, and he is an elite defender. Now, there's a difference between being a dog, like a Pat Bev kind of guard where you're just, you know, making life hard on your opponent versus an elite defender who is just neutralizing you when you're trying to get the ball into the hoop. I mean, you can YouTube Drew Holiday. You can YouTube his defensive highlights. The guy has quick hands. He has a long reach. He's able to swat the ball away. He's able to pick the ball out of the air. That's the kind of elite defender who can generate his own offense and I believe should be the primary ball handler for the Bucks that the Bucks need. Look, I love Giannis taking the ball up the court, but I want to see other players alleviate that for him. I want to see him go back to really just being under the rim, getting those rebounds, you know, and even being on the line to shoot some threes if he wants to. I think that having Drew Holiday is going to open up, I keep saying this word, the versatility and really unlock that for Milwaukee. Because Drew Holiday is just a Swiss Army knife, man. He's a good player. He's not just a good player, he's a great player. I don't know if I would have traded all. Well, you know what? No, I would put, if I was the general manager of the Bucks, I would push all my chips into the table on Drew Holiday. I think he's going to have an outstanding year with Milwaukee. I think that Milwaukee is going to greatly benefit from his just defensive prowess is amazing. I mean, you have that guy. You have Giannis now out there too. You're going to have Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, possibly Torrey Craig, who is also another very athletic pickup. That's a really good roster. Okay. You know, in my opinion, you can put four bums around Giannis and it's going to be a really good roster. So the fact that they have Chris Middleton and now Drew Holiday, those are all guys who are going to average more than 20 points a game this season. So I would really watch out for the Milwaukee Bucks. And they're on the list. They're the last team on my list of free agency winners. Okay, so something I want to address. It looks like Houston has a problem. You know, Houston, we definitely have a serious problem. James Harden no longer wants to play here. So here's the double-edged sword when it comes to catering to your superstar. I am all for player empowerment. I think it's a great thing. I mean, I think LeBron James is the crowning achievement of when you empower your player. That guy goes to a team, he knows the moves he wants to make, and he works with the front office to get those moves done. And, you know, I don't think there is a more empowered player besides LeBron James. And he has yielded success from that. I think James Harden is up there as well. Unfortunately, he has not been able to yield even close to the same success as LeBron James. But James Harden has been the leading scorer in the league since 2017. And I don't know if that's going to slow down anytime soon. Not to mention the guy is netting you 7 assists per game. The problem is now, with a guy as good as James Harden, who has, he's basically been the runner-up for MVP or been the MVP for the past 5 years now. Trading a guy of that caliber, you're just never going to get back the same quality. So I know James wants to leave. He's upset because it didn't work with Dwight Howard. It didn't work with Chris Paul, even though it got very, very close. And things really did not work with Westbrook. Everyone left. But you know what? Houston leveraged their future on those picks. And you know that James Harden was the one either dictating that or signing off on those. So at some point, you the player, if you are the franchise player, you have to hold yourself accountable. You have to look at this franchise that is behind you 100% and say, you know what? I owe these guys something. I know he doesn't want to play there anymore. He's been a prima donna about it. And, you know, I really don't agree with him going on his little club world tour during a pandemic. I understand he did that to get the attention of the Houston Rockets. But you know what? You're still on contract for 2 years. And you have to understand that you play at such a phenomenal level that, you know, you want to go to the Nets. I get it. But guess what? They don't have the trade assets for you unless they trade Kyrie Irving and maybe a couple of picks. You want to go to the 76ers. Now, that's a more feasible trade for James Harden because, you know what, if you can net Ben Simmons in that trade, if I am David Fertitta, I make that trade. You know, reluctantly, but I would make that trade. I think Ben Simmons is the future of the NBA versus James Harden, who is in a win-now mode. So it really comes down to what you're trying to do. And look, Houston, they may have not gotten better because I don't believe they have. But with the addition of John Wall, you have Christian Wood and you have DeMarcus Cousins. That's a different team now. They're no longer sticking to the small ball. They've kind of imploded. You have a new coach in Steven Silas, who, by the way, is I'm very happy for Steven. I think that Coach Silas is going to do great things with that team. It's nice because there's been a call for so long to see more African-American coaches. Guess what? Houston, you got one. And I think that he's going to be fire for you. I think it's important that he opens that bridge of communication with James Harden. And kind of honestly, I wish James wasn't making it so hard on his new coach with, you know, skipping practices as he's been doing. He finally came back to Houston, but you know, it's no secret that he doesn't want to be there anymore. But look, you don't have to make things hard on your coach, man. It's his first year. Like help a brother out, man. And I mean that. Like, come on, dude. Like, there is a huge call for more African American coaches, not just in basketball, but in sports, period. And guess what? Now you have one. You don't want to stand with that guy and see what you can do? I mean, I'm not James Harden. I can't tell you what he's thinking, but I can just tell you what I would do if I was James Harden. And look, taking accountability for a franchise that has leveraged their future on you, you know, that's where I would start. That to me is the right thing to do. But let's talk about possible landing destinations because, you know, he doesn't want to be there. So I saw an article that came out by ESPN where they had five different landing destinations. I'm just going to talk about a few of them. Look, Brooklyn is completely off the table. If you are the general manager of Houston and Brooklyn is calling and they are offering you Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen and this and that, and look, all these, you know, decent young pieces, I tell them to kick rocks. I tell them to buzz off. Do not call my phone and waste my minutes unless you are giving me Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. And since you are not going to give me either of those players, we have nothing to discuss. That trade is dead. That's fizzled out. It's not happening. I think the best trade package on the table would be from the 76ers. They can offer you Ben Simmons. I doubt they'll want to give you Joel Embiid. But Ben Simmons next to John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, PJ Tucker, that could be a very potent playoff team. Especially because I believe John Wall, coming into this season, he hasn't played for 2 years. This guy is going to be on a mission to prove not just to everybody, but to himself that he's that same player who can get you 20-9, you know? So I'm really excited to see John Wall come out the gate like a bat out of hell and see what he's capable of. I think that grabbing Ben Simmons back would be fantastic. So I would, there's no other trade market out there for a player of James Harden's caliber unless you're getting a young superstar back. You know, you have to get one of these Jason Tatums. You have to get yourself a Ben Simmons, a Donovan Mitchell. That's what I would be trading for. I mean, we're talking about James Harden here. I know he hasn't won a ring. I know that the Rockets have been having trouble in the playoffs, but he's still James Harden. He's the beard. He's the only guy who's going to go down in the history of this sport who has averaged or has led the league, in assists, points, and then free throw attempts. Okay, that's going to happen at some point in his career. In the future, you mark my words. This guy is a dynamic scorer. He's a dynamic player. Now, is his style of play conducive to winning a championship? I don't believe so. You know, Kobe Bryant even told him, man, you got to learn to play basketball, same streetball. So I think James Harden, will have to make some real adjustments if he wants to yield the results of winning a championship. But who knows? Maybe he will go to another team and do that. So 76ers, I would want Ben Simmons back, maybe a couple picks. And man, you just got to pull the trigger. If your franchise guy doesn't want to be there, I know that's so unfortunate. It's breaking hearts all over Houston. But Harden wants to go, and I think that letting him go would be the best thing to do, just as a franchise as well. Even if your players are not going to act professionally, you, by default, still are a professional organization. It's very important that you continue to reflect that, because the league is looking right now at Houston to see what's going to happen. Houston said that, you know, they're very okay with being uncomfortable during the season, which means if they don't see the trade they want, they're going to keep Harden. Obviously, he didn't like that, which led to this, all these partyings, going out, not wearing masks, and just kind of violating all the rules that have been sent down by the CDC. Not rules, but guidelines for how we should be acting during this pandemic. But, you know, it is what it is. He rattled the cage. He got everyone's attention. He's talked about trying to go to the Bucks, the Heat. Now, look, if you're Milwaukee, first and foremost, I don't even know if James Harden and Giannis can play together. But you don't even have the assets to go after Harden. You went all in on Drew Holiday, and that's kind of where you're at now. And as I stated before, I think Drew Holiday is an elite defender. He's not just a dog, you know, which analysts love to use that term. Oh, this guy's a dog defender. You know, he's a dog when he's on the court. It means he's tough. But there is a huge difference between being tough and then being an elite defender. Drew Holiday is an elite defender. Giannis Antetokounmpo is an elite defender. Okay? Middleton isn't that bad. Lopez isn't that bad. All of a sudden, you're looking at what could potentially be the most defensively capable team in the NBA, along with possibly, like, look, I fully expect the Bucks to have a top five offense and a top five defense with just the addition of Drew Holiday, because Giannis is your DPOY. Okay? That guy is the truth. All right? He knows how to defend. And you know what? Now he has a guy who has that same mentality playing alongside of him who can still generate offense in a way that Eric Bledsoe never could. So, sorry, I got off on a tangent. I'm very excited for the Bucks this season. Let's go back to talking about Harden. So if you're the Bucks, look, that's just not happening. I saw the Heat on Harden's short list. And as much as I think that would be a great move, because I want James Harden out of the West, he's caused the Utah Jazz so many problems because he's a phenomenal player. I'd love for him to not be here. It opens up the West a little more because the West is just a shark tank. It's kill or be killed. I don't think that the Heat will pull the trigger on that. Who are you going to give up? Jimmy Butler? That's not happening. So you have to give up, what, Bam Adebayo? You just signed him to the max deal. You want to keep that guy. That guy is a young power forward who, once again, let's add him to our list of guys. So, I just don't know how they would get that done. I mean, you could trade. You'd have to have Tyler Hero in that trade. Some draft picks to make salaries work. Man, that's a difficult one. The thing is, too, is you have to make sure that you dot your I's and cross your T's when it comes to salary, you know? So trading for a franchise player like James Harden can be kind of tricky. I saw Golden State also. Rumblings about Golden State. Now, you know what? Golden State might actually be able to pull that off. Can I see Harden trading or playing with Steph Curry? Yes, and that's because Steph Curry, I believe can play with anyone. He proved that when he played with Kevin Durant. Steph Curry is okay with taking a back seat and being a number two option on his team because he wants to win. He cares about legacy. That shows you Steph Curry is the long game kind of thinker. All right, he's a long game kind of guard. And you know what? He's going to play. His game is going to grace, or is going to age very gracefully. Excuse me. So I could see Steph playing with anyone. The problem is you're going to have to give up James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins, some more picks. You really have to sweeten that deal. Probably Kelly Oubre, who you just picked up because Klay Thompson got hurt. But, you know, if you think that James Harden is going to give you the offensive firepower that you are lacking right now, because, you know, we all know that the Golden State Warriors, they were a dynasty. I fully think they have the capability to make the playoffs again because Steph Curry is Steph Curry, and he's going to remind people who he is upcoming season. But you don't have Klay Thompson, and that's very painful. Klay Thompson, I don't think, receives the recognition for being the top player that he is. He's one of the greatest shooters, not just in the NBA now, but ever, okay? He has made the most threes in a game, I think at 14. He had a quarter where he scored 40 points in like the third quarter of a game. The guy is, and he can lock you down defensively. Klay Thompson is a huge loss for Golden State, and that's just going to be very painful for them. But they still have the assets to where they could try to make that trade. So just a little short list. Honestly, when it comes to my own prediction, I think James Harden is going to be starting the season with the Houston Rockets. I think they'll get a trade done by the trade deadline, depending on what teams are willing to offer them. But look, James Harden has set the standard for scoring. He knows, and the cool thing about Harden that I really like, I don't want anyone getting it twisted. I don't approve of his unprofessional behavior that occurred, but I'm talking about him as a player. James Harden has been able to evolve his game to the point where it doesn't matter, he's going to get his buckets. That to me is superstar-esque, okay? I think James Harden has the ability to go down as one of the top 20 players in NBA history, just because of his scoring accolades alone. And, you know, people forget he's a decent... I mean, he's averaged 7 assists since 2015, okay? That's awesome. I don't know anyone on my team right now who's doing that. You know, it's fantastic when you can find a guard who can get you 35-7. You know, that's crazy. And that's why I think it's just going to be so difficult to trade him. I think the Sixers have the best package. I think Golden State could pull it off. However, if you are the general manager of Houston, you don't do business with Golden State. You send him to the East. You don't strengthen the teams in your conference. That's a big no-no in my opinion. So, yeah, I guess we're going to have to see. But my prediction for that is going to be James Harden. Starts. He's going to play some games. We're going to see how he plays with John Wall. The nice thing about John Wall too is he can play off the ball a lot better than Russ could, and that might change Harden's mind. You know, because Harden is ball dominant. He's number one usage when it comes to just handling ball handling there is in the NBA by a wide margin. Number two was Westbrook, which is why they didn't work together. Everyone could see that from a mile away. But John Wall can play off the ball. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he can still play off the ball for you. All right, this has been episode one. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Next time you guys listen, I'm going to go over my playoff seeds, not power rankings, but seeds. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. Have a great day.